Third down and 12. Rodgers, time runs out. Ball is out. It's picked up by the Texans and Sheldon Rankins. And he is in for a touchdown.
Awesome. Terrific.
I went outside to
throw yourself in front of a moving train.
Trash cans in or something last night during that period of time, change of possession or whatever. And I come back in and I hear like screaming in my kids are still up. Yes. Bad parenting.
No, it's great. Train them young.
I come in and Trey is just bawling.
Oh, no.
He goes, it's sack fumble. He got strip sack. I'm like, Trey. He's like flipping out. I'm like, Trey, it's time to go to bed. And he goes, why? And he starts to come around. He goes, they could still win. And I go, but they're not going to win. You got to go up.
My cousin and I, you say bad parent, I'll say bad fan. When Houston was driving, the Steelers were down 17-6 at this point. I said, if they convert this third down, we're out. And my cousin goes, no. If they cross the 50, we're out.
They did the same thing. They did it on the same play.
Yes.
Christian Kirk.
Yes, they did. So we were gone. I've cried over sporting events. I was 14 during the 2004 playoff run when the Steelers almost lost to the Jets and Doug Bryan happened. And as they're lining up for what would have been the game-winning field goal, I was sobbing in my friend Pat's arms as my dad was like, I don't know this kid. So we've all been there.
Yep.
412-928-9370. I say Art Rooney II should tell Mike Tomlin today that they're not going to pick up the option for 2027 and then see what Mike says. What do you think? 412-928-9370. Any topic on the table for you. Open phones here for Catharsis in the 9 o'clock hour. And we start with Bruce from Greenfield, who's been waiting for a long time on hold. Appreciate you. Bruce, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Thanks. Thanks for hanging in with me.
No, yeah, you're the man. What's
up? I'm gonna get right to the point.
Yeah,
let's face facts, guys. Tomlin, 9 years without a playoff win and 7 playoff losses wins in a row. He got to go. One more year left on his contract. I don't care. Go. But my main concern is they hire an offensive coordinator by the name of Arthur Smith, who coached 3 years at Atlanta Falcons. All 3 years, he was 7-10. How do they explain going after a guy that was 7-10 3 years in a row to be your offensive coordinator? They need a clean sweep, and I'm talking from Tomlin to the popcorn vendor.
Don't take out the popcorn vendor. I talked to a lot of great vendors last night at Acrisure Stadium. This isn't on them. You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become Marvin Lewis. And that's what happened with Mike Tomlin. Marvin Lewis had a 7-game playoff losing streak, and that was it. Now, he didn't ever win a playoff game, and he didn't win a Super Bowl like Mike Tomlin did. But if you would flip-flop Mike Tomlin's career, and if he started the way he has finished, he never would have got to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, because you would have fired him. And you tell me if you think I'm smoking on this one, Pat. And all boy, right, would I love to beat today. Oh, wake and bake today would have been tremendous.
Okay.
Is there any organization in sports you think that would have Mike Tomlin remain their head coach if you go 10 years without a playoff win? Because that's what it's going to be. Even if they win one next year, it's going to be 10 calendar flipping years. I don't think there's an organization in sports that would look at that and go, no, we'll keep the guy for a 21st season, for an 11th season.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that Mike Tomlin referenced Don Shula, because Tomlin won a Super Bowl, went to another and lost, but you're in that, the back half of your career is a lot like Don Shula.
The thing about Shula, just while we're on it, he had an 8-year period where he didn't win a playoff game, but then he won the AFC championship in that 9th year.
Right.
You know, Tomlin needed to get off the schneid against a beatable Houston team. And look, I know that defense is great. You watch C.J. Stroud and how he played for the majority of that game, and you tell me they weren't beatable. That team was there to be had.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know where I was going to go with my commentary here, but like, over the last 10 years, the Steelers have the 4th best winning percentage in the NFL. 6-18. the Chiefs, the Ravens are ahead of them. You know, they're in the fighting match, and they're doing it with the 19th most points per game and giving up the 22nd most points per game. On its face, when you're statistically mediocre on offense and defense, you're relying on turnover and turnover differential and coaching to win.
Yeah, sure.
And that would point to Mike Tomlin. Those same trends do not carry over into the playoffs, which is really hard to square. It's really hard to square that. Now, back to, I know where I wanted to go. Bruce's point about Arthur Smith. Well, okay, Josh McDaniels is a pretty damn good offensive coordinator. He's a horrible head coach. So your record as a head coach doesn't necessarily reflect your qualifications as an offensive coordinator.
Dick LeBeau was a horrendous head coach with Cincinnati. Yeah. One of the best DCs of all time.
It's
Vic Fangio.
And Arthur Smith could get a head job and win at the right place. Right? So sometimes you're a victim of circumstance. Sometimes you don't have a quarterback. Sometimes it's both. But Arthur Smith's a good offensive coordinator. Did he call a great game last night? No. He did not. Was he strapped a little bit by the disparity of talent between their front four and Pittsburgh's offensive line? Abso-freaking-lutely. So I don't know the answer to this question, man. Like, do the Steelers have a 6-18 winning percentage with another coach in the regular season? Do they win a playoff game with another coach? What does it take to get a franchise quarterback? Is Pittsburgh ready to go 3-13 or 3-14?
Not with Tomlin. They're not going to do it with Tomlin. And I'll say this, to your point, I think Mike Tomlin's a fabulous regular season coach. He just is.
What place do you move on from a very good coach and almost right away have the right guy?
It doesn't happen often.
New England with a year. They had a fall guy.
I mean, Ben Johnson comes in, flips Chicago on its ass.
Right, but I'm saying, at what place do you go with a place that's pretty good, average, pretty good, gets to the playoffs, doesn't have a losing season, fourth best winning percentage in the NFL over the last 10 years, and you move on from Mike Tomlin and bring in another person. Now, the Patriots kind of tanked towards the end of Belichick, right, when they moved on. But Philadelphia, Chip Kelly, back in the mid-2000s. How'd that go?
He was pretty good.
Pretty good record-wise, but it ended up not working.
Right.
And then they've gone, they have the fifth best winning percentage during that period of time. They've had three head coaches during that period.
Yes, because they got the right guy at general manager for damn sure.
And ownership is investing at a very high level.
You're not making the argument to keep Tomlin, are you?
I'm making the argument that it's more complicated than just saying fire the coach.
I don't think it is when it's been 10 years. There is nuance to it.
I think it is
certainly.
I think it is a plausible argument, but I think they have layers of issues that only some of which have begun to come to surface. Like there are craters ahead for this franchise based on how much money they have tied up in older players.
Oh yeah.
The fact that they don't have a quarterback, that if I were taking a head job and I looked at the resource allocation, I may not rank Pittsburgh as high as you do or as the court of public opinion would indicate when you look at a job on its face. I would rank New York ahead of that. If I'm like, I got a good chance, I'm an offensive coach, which I think if you're going to move on from Mike Tomlin, what's your issue been?
So you're going Clint Kubiak. And there's no guarantee.
I would consider Mike McCarthy.
Sure.
So you're overinvested on defense for what? Like what'd that get you? And you're overinvested not just for this year, but for many.
Oh yeah, and how about this, Pat? It's not even just the defense. You are spending $30 million on a number two wide receiver who had a drop on what could have been the biggest play of the season whenever we all go back and look at it. And an edge rusher in TJ Watt, who's not a $40 million player anymore, not by a long shot. Let's go to Leslie in Elwood City, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Good morning, Leslie. You were terrible earlier when Bruce called. Now you're great that Leslie calls?
Well, Leslie's got such a soothing voice, but that was also a clearly sarcastic great.
It was very sarcastic.
If I was going to describe exactly how I'm feeling, Leslie, then I would get fired because the words I would use can't be said on air.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I want to start on a positive note. You guys really made this season fun, and I wake up early every morning just to listen to you guys and do the YouTube chat. It's super fun. And
Leslie, did I meet you at the casino last night?
No. Okay. No.
I met a very nice lady, and you sound like her. Yeah, it's been a fun year. Like, hey, they got Rodgers, and they won 10 games. We got to yell Rogue Rodgers, and they beat the Ravens in an all-time classic. Like, there were definitely fun moments, but Mike Tomlin, the ceiling and the floor are the same thing now. And this is the analogy I've made a bunch. My wife and I watch the Property Brothers show and the Tiny House show on HGTV. That's right, I'm domesticated. And they got the tiny houses where the ceiling and the roof are buttoned up right against each other. And only like hobbits can fit in there. And that's what's happened with Tomlin. Like, you know he's going to get them into contention. But then that's where it's done. It's over. And thank you for the call, Leslie. God bless. See, I've even found religion today. I'm in such a bad place.
Did you
place.
Let Leslie complete her thought?
I don't know that I did.
She came with a very positive... Where's Callis?
He had to go to the bathroom.
Very positive point. I hope she's still listening because I do think you unreasonably cut her off.
Yeah, probably. My bad.
Because I think
I
she
am
was
sorry
gonna,
for
she
that.
Had a thought to share. Man. It was a fun year.
Great.
But it ended the same way that each of the last 10 have ended.
Yes. And I am all about the entertainment. I really am. Like, I do think there's actually value to that. And that's probably not going to be a popular thing to say into the microphone today. But that's not the most... I just knocked water everywhere. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is entertainment that can pay off with a damn win every now and again, for goodness sakes, in January. Shall we go to Crank in Gibsonia?
I love it.
What up, Crank?
What up?
What's up, Crank?
I'm here today to talk about the sobering passage of time here as a Steelers fan. So I was 20, right, and I was in college at Penn State watching us field goal the Chiefs to death back in, what was that, 2016, 2017. I'm 29 now. I still haven't seen the Steelers win a playoff game in that entire stretch. When I was in like seventh grade, we won Super Bowl 43. And I had this mental image, right, of my 20s, being able to go to the bar, right, going to Archie's, going to Mario's down on the South Side, just having a blast with all my friends. And I just feel like the Steelers have really robbed me of pretty much everything over the last 10 years. I was at the game last night. I always say, you know, Heinz Field, it feels like a museum at this point. It's like a tourist attraction. You know, come on down, get your pictures, go look at the Super Bowls we used to win. You know, go do the Renegade, right? We do that still. Just it's a tourist attraction, right? It feels like the dudes on this team really just care about, you know, aura farming and, you know, scoring in the South Side more so than scoring in the end zone. Actually, so, like, you know, what's it going to take, right, in the last 10 years?
All right, Crank, thank you for the call. I feel like I can cut Crank off there, right?
Crank had some good things to say, though.
He did, and you want to talk about
the South Side thing, I don't.
That's why I had to end it, because who knows where he was going to go next.
Well, maybe he was talking about, like, their contract.
Whatever.
I'm going to go, your mind's in the gutter, I think.
Probably. We gave him a minute and a half. I do feel bad for Leslie, and I'm apologizing to her profusely on the YouTube chat right now, because she's on there every day. When the Steelers last won a playoff game, I hadn't even gone on my honeymoon yet. And now I have two kids. One's in friggin' kindergarten.
Yep.
And my kyphosis is getting worse.
Hey, you're bending over.
Yeah.
You're going the reverse of like the evolution of
man. I look
man.
Like Quasimodo, dude.
My son was born in 2016. So Trey's had one playoff win in his life.
When was he born, you said?
October 11, 2016.
Yeah, he's had one. It's been 3,284 days since they've won a playoff game, and the next playoff game they will play will be a year from now if they get in. It'll be 10 calendar years. 10. And there are still some people like Mike DeCourcy, whom I love, saying that the head coach isn't to blame. Are you kidding me? Chris in Columbus, is this a put on? Is this Starkey? Chris Columbus?
No, it's not. It's not Starkey, I promise. How are you boys doing today?
Great.
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah. Well, I got a nice 3-hour drive back to Columbus, and I thought I'd share a couple thoughts and ask two questions. First off, did everybody on TV hear the boos and the fire Tomlin chants last night? Because I sure did when I was at Akershire.
Did you hear it on the TV, Pat?
A little bit. I heard boos for sure.
So the fire Tomlin started, Chris, in the 500 section, which is where I was, but it fizzled pretty quick, but mostly because people were starting to head to the exits.
Yep, 100%. My second question for you, gentlemen, an excellent job this morning, helping us get over our grief and misery, because that's what we're used to at this point. My second question is, how does this team not hire an offensive head coach, and how does Terrell Austin have a job by the end of the week? I'll leave it there. Thank you, guys.
Well, I'm guessing, and thank you, Chris, I'm guessing Terrell Austin won't, because that's the most Steelers thing to do. Coordinator's contract runs out, and you move on. And we say they do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, and there's some truth in that. But they overhauled the roster year over year, and that didn't work. The end wound up being the same, but a lot of the faces that were on the field last night were different. So what's going to change this offseason? Well, I don't think it's going to be the coach. So you did the player thing. I'm guessing it's going to be at least one of the coordinators and probably only one of the coordinators. 412-928-9370. We are Callousless.
He's back.
We now have Harry Callous. We'll take a quick break. We'll take more of your phone calls. Phone line stacked at 412-928-9370. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. For over 50 years, a bunch of guys that are free agents, a lot of guys I don't know if you want back. We can get into some of that when we return as well. Texture writes in at 412-928-9370. Okay, so let's get over it. Not like we haven't had 9 years of practice. You certainly will have topics to discuss month after month. Get over it. The body's not warm. It just happened last night. So we're firing Tomlin today. At 412-928-9370, the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company, and you can text us like that poor soul who I just chastised at 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Did Cam Hayward play well enough last night? I mean, they didn't stop the run.
No. I don't think he played poorly, but I don't think he played, you know.
Not second-team All-Pro worthy.
No.
Yeah.
Against a pretty pedestrian offensive line.
TJ, same thing. Got some pressures early.
Flashed at times, yep. But didn't ultimately get there and wasn't great against the run either.
How about DK Metcalf? We think he had a good day?
No.
So when I look
off
at...
Off to a good start. Got off to a great start.
He did. And I thought it was going to be the DK game. And it kind of is. Alex Highsmith, who had been the best player maybe on the Steelers' defense last month, was he elite yesterday?
Jack Sawyer was better.
Yes, he was. Did Patrick Queen play well?
No.
I saw Woody Marks bounce off him in the hole like he was made out of bouncy ball material, like he was a pink pearl eraser, like he was a chicken nugget at the St. Bernard's cafeteria back in the day that we used to bounce around. Yeah, it's never good when the chicken nuggets bounce about a foot and a half.
That would imply that it's not chicken.
That is exactly right. The reason I asked this, Pat Freiermuth, they target him enough, you think?
No.
One catch, three targets, too little, too late. Those are the guys that Jonnu Smith, we'll add one more in there. How'd he play?
He shouldn't have played.
That's your eight highest cap hits. Not one of them played up to their talent level or was utilized to their capabilities.
That's a problem.
Yes, it is. You're not going to win a playoff game that way, Pat. You just aren't. Let's go to one of our favorite callers, Dave in Delmont. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, man. How you doing?
Hey, Dave.
Good, thanks. I'm not surprised. I called in on Friday and said that the defense would just smack Aaron Rodgers around. I can't understand how 70% of the people in this City thought that we had a chance to win. And if Tomlin isn't gone by the end of the week, then that just shows that Art Rooney doesn't care about anything. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I don't think he'll be gone by the end of the week. Would love to be wrong on that. And I think Mike Tomlin's done a lot of good in this city, and Mike Tomlin's won a championship, and Mike Tomlin should be in the Steelers' Ring of Honor, if not the Hall of Fame one day. But I think there's a shelf life for everybody. I loved Mike Sullivan. I still love Mike Sullivan. I think they're both great coaches. You know, somebody out there thinks Derek Shelton's a damn good coach. That Minnesota hired him. Things got better under Donnie Kelly. Like, things will maybe get better if you fire Tomlin. There's no guarantee of that. But you know what? I'm tired of the same thing happening year after year. And they've changed a lot. There have been a lot of different coordinators over the course of these last 10 years where they haven't won a playoff game. There have been a ton of different players walking through the door, and they haven't won a playoff game. But the one constant, because there's even been two general managers, the one constant, the two constants, the owner and the head coach. And it doesn't mean it gets better. It might not. You might hire the wrong guy and then fire that guy and hire another wrong guy. And then you're the Chicago Bears, this once great storied franchise that can't get it together. That's a possibility too, but you know what I'm willing to see? Should we go to Troy in Mount Washington?
All right, let's do it.
I love Troy. Troy, one of the most optimistic Steelers fans we have. You got to be hurting today, my man.
Yeah, man, it's tough. Walking out of that stadium yesterday with 4 minutes left in the game in a playoff game when that place had a raucous atmosphere is just sick to my stomach. And immediately, you know, you're sitting with your boys and there's 4 minutes left in the game and they're just like, and so when do we fire Tomlin? When does he leave? You know, I get it, and I get it's time for a change. But what I'm sick and tired of is this ownership group in this city and this organization has a way that they want to win football games, regardless of Mike Tomlin or not. You're going to get another coach in here, and unless the mentality of the ownership group of saying, hey, we're Pittsburgh, we're a hard-knock city, we want to win with defense and run the ball. If you're not going to change your overall philosophy of how you want to, what type of organization you want to be and what type of way you want to win, just because, and another thing, the Steelers fans are spoiled, and you know, we won two Super Bowls in 50 years. I mean, I get it. The 70s were great, but let's really put an overall look on how many Super Bowls we've won in 45 or 50 years.
Yeah, you're right about that, Troy.
This team is winning, you know, two Super Bowls in one decade, and then, you know, 15 years later we get to another one, and then we win another one. It's been two Super Bowls in 50 years, and this ownership group wants a coach that carries out their philosophy for the city. Not Mike Tomlin's picking his coaches. Mike Tomlin's picking his players. He's drafting everybody. You can't blame one guy every single time something goes wrong. You have to start above that guy.
I'll blame two.
We don't look above that guy anymore. We just don't.
Troy.
So I need Tomlin to go. I need someone else to come in, and I need 6 years later when we're running the ball on second and 12 and we're just playing defense and we're playing the one way that our city wants to play for people to open their eyes and say, hey, maybe we just have a philosophy of how we want to win, and it wasn't the coaching. It's just the coaching carrying out the philosophy.
All right, Troy. Thank you, buddy. Find yourself a brown paper bag, okay?
I'll try.
Not to wear over your head, but to breathe into.
It's a great rant. A lot of credible comments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Troy's a really smart fan. I will say, look at what the Philadelphia Eagles did last year, running the ball and playing defense. You can win that way.
You can. They also are very aggressive going forward on fourth down.
For sure.
Mobile quarterback.
Yep. So you can run the ball and play defense in 2026, but you have to modernize it, I think, is the point.
Well, you also have to respect A.J. Brown, DeVonta Smith. They've got some guys on the perimeter,
too. Yeah, having
good
players helps.
Having really good players helps. Being smart in free agency, handling dead cap space, like all the things that they've done at a high level, man. But he's right. I mean, it isn't just one guy, but that one guy has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're shared responsibility. But
no coach in the league has more power than him. Does any in professional sports in North America have more power than Mike Tomlin? Probably not anymore.
For a while, maybe Andy Reid. But, you know, that organization is pretty humming until look what happened this year. You know? Time runs out at some point on everybody.
Yeah, Sullivan was that guy until last year. Like, I didn't think he would be gone ever because of the relationship with the Fenway Sports Group. And then he gets kicked to the curb.
I'm looking at the, just trying to kind of characterize the head coaches remaining in the playoffs. And oddly enough, there are four defensive head coaches and four offensive head coaches. Sean Payton and Sean McDermott, who I would consider to be on the older side of the remaining head coaches. Although Kyle Shanahan's not young. Mike Vrabel and D'Amico Ryans. So you have three defensive coaches in the AFC. One offensive head coach remaining. And the NFC, the Seahawks, 49ers, defense, offense, and then two offensive, young offensive head coaches for the Rams and Bears. But I would say this, Vrabel and McDermott are two of the more aggressive head coaches when it comes to going for it on fourth down and not kicking field goals.
And the other thing is, both coaches have hired quality coordinators. Like Josh McDaniels, one of the better offensive coordinators we've ever seen. I mean, he was a terrible head coach. He's had three stints in New England. Now, it helps to have Tom Brady. But
can I ask this question? Is Joe Brady a good offensive coach? Is he better than Brian Daboll? There's clearly been a fall off. But Josh Allen's superhuman.
Pat, please don't say things that are going to invalidate my argument, please. For the purposes of this conversation, yes. Joe Brady is a good offensive
mind. There are five or six guys I'd interview before him.
He'd be on my interview list.
You could talk to him.
Yeah. Pick his brain. Get the whiteboard up. Hey, what have we sucked at? Well, that is, of course, if you moved on from Tomlin, which they won't. Kyle in Washington, good morning to you.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Got it.
Yeah. Hey, so something actually for Pat. So, Pat, you and I actually have a mutual connection since we're talking about coaching here, but I'm from Clearfield in the central part of the state, and my
baby childhood
friend, yep, Andrew Janoco, so the current Seahawks quarterback coach. You know, I know we've thrown Clint Kubiak's name out there, and again, we could talk hypotheticals till we're blue in the face, but it would be cool to see Andrew come back home and be the new offensive coordinator of the Steelers. But regardless, you know, I wish him success. We all do. And if he could take the next step in his coaching career, we're pulling for him.
He's going to take it for sure, and I appreciate the call. Clearfield, you ever been to Clearfield?
Thank you, Kyle. I have not.
Denny's Beer Barrel Pub. They have like a big hamburger. It's massive.
When are we going?
It's a hike, but it's beautiful country. He will be taking the next step in his coaching journey because Clint Kubiak will get a head coaching job.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
And Andrew will be the offensive coordinator. All
I've ever really wanted is a Kubiak. Just give me a damn Kubiak. 412-928-9370 if you want to give us a ring. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It is 940. Make the smart call, Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Tweet sent to me at @_AdamCrowley. It was my birthday. Turned 12 the last time the Steelers won a playoff game. I will be turning 21 on Thursday. Well, at least you'll be able to drink. Be thankful for that. What's that place to drink in the middle of the state, Pat? What's it called?
Denny's Beer Barrel Pub.
Where is that?
Clearfield.
How far is the drive from here?
2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad. It's a great place. Been there a bunch in college. Not Denny's specifically. There's a number of good places, including the Moran Club.
Oh.
The Moran Club is a members-only club that I have. It's a watering hole of sorts. And I've had a lot of fun up there, especially in college.
I tweeted this out not long ago, that I'm more angry than sad, but I am also sad. And I wonder if Steelers fans are more angry or sad.
I think they're more angry.
I wonder.
There's no question they're more angry.
I wonder how that feels like in a month or so, though. Because as I was walking out of the stadium, I was actually more sad than anything. And then today I knew I'd have this opportunity to talk to the masses.
I think the emotion, the pendulum swings back and forth. And it takes a while to get back to like a sober state of objectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take a while, man. Anytime a season ends, anytime a season ends, seldom does it end the way you want it to. Seldom.
It's just upsetting because I thought they had a shot, and through three quarters they did, and now they won't play in a playoff game for at least a year, and I don't know who the hell the quarterback's going to be next year. We have no idea how this offseason's going to go, and...
Right back where we were last year.
Right. And I hate the fear of the unknown. It's something I talked to my therapist about. But relating it to sports, I knew what we were getting ourselves into yesterday, and I thought that they'd have a shot. And now I don't trust the guy who's captaining the ship, and I have no idea who his first mate's going to be. And that blows. When's the next time the Steelers are going to be actual contenders, man? I have no idea. No one can answer that
Sadly,
question.
What we learned yesterday was absolutely nothing, which is they aren't to play the way they want to play. They are nowhere near good enough up front on either side of the football. And they don't have an equalizer at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is by far the best quarterback they've had since Ben retired, and he played better than Ben did his last year. Maybe not 2020 on the whole.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers played good enough quarterback to get this team to the playoffs and probably willed them to the playoffs if you really look at it. If you look at Detroit, if you look at Baltimore 1 and 2, they don't win those games with Mason Rudolph. I'm sorry.
They don't beat the Jets week one.
They don't beat them with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or Kenny Pickett. He did some remarkable things. But ultimately, when you play a game... When you invest the way you have defensively and then you try to draft and develop up front, you don't invest in totality at receiver. You need to run the football and control the line of scrimmage to win, and they couldn't do it.
Nope.
That's an elite defense they played. I understand what Trey was saying earlier about not pinning it all on the offensive line, but ultimately when you're facing a defense that's playing a two-shell, rushing four, only committing 7 or 6 based on formation to the run, and they're consistently dominating, you have a major problem on your hands.
Yes.
You either have to address it or your philosophy needs to change.
I agree, Pat, and I said going into the game yesterday, hey, at least it looks like the trenches are moving in the right direction with the way the defensive line played against Baltimore, the way the offensive line played against Baltimore, and really both units the end of the season. That was pre-Houston, and you have to measure yourself more against the Houstons than the Baltimores, the Miamis, and this year's Detroits of
the
world.
That was men against boys.
You are 1,000% right. So it's back to the old drawing board, and thus, the sadness. Pat, this was wonderful.
I'll see you Thursday,
big guy. Big guy. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 46, so get your suntan lotion out.